Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
You think you're having a hard time watching your baseball team lose a couple games in a row? Wait till you watch your football team lose back-to-back games to start the season. Keith McPherson on the Fan is week two. Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. And we got a good one. You know, it's not Browns versus Panthers. Like, we get a potential NFC championship matchup, a preview in week two. I'll take it, man. Both of these teams are 1-0. Neither one of these teams want to have a one in the loss column. Short week. Better get after it. And I can't wait to see Micah Parsons chasing Jaden Daniels around. I can't wait to see Lil Bill. Did you see that? I'm just a Bill sitting on Capitol Hill. The Commanders made this whole, I don't know, it was creative. It was something on social media for Jacory Kroski Merritt, their rookie running back, who he told people, just call me Bill. He had a game against the Giants. You guys saw him, number 22. Short week in Green Bay. Green Bay opens up at home with back-to-back games in Lambeau. Let's see what Josh Jacobs does. Let's see what, you know, all those receivers that they have now. Jaden Reed and Matthew Golden and Romeo Doubs. Jordan Love doesn't turn the ball over. Let's see what that Commanders defense looks like against the Packers defense. I know you Giants fans will be tuned in for sure because you're going to want to see. You're going to say, okay, we couldn't score a touchdown against these guys. Let's see what the Packers do. I heard on the Fan that, you know, one of the greatest moments in Giant history was Tommy DeVito defeating the Packers just 2 years ago. So I know you're going to be tuned in to see what they do against Jaden Daniels and company, Terry McLaurin and company, Marshawn Lattimore, Bobby Wagner. I honestly can't wait to watch that game tomorrow night. I'm so thankful we have football. The first week of football was so good. From Jalen Carter spitting on Dak, getting thrown out of the game. We had a weather delay. But that first half, they didn't kick. They just scored and matched each other back and forth, back and forth. You know, Super Bowl champions coming out, doing what they do in their building. Dak Prescott being healthy, doing what he does as one of the better quarterbacks in football, one of the highest paid guys, dialing it up. I can guarantee you Giants fans, in their own building, like CeeDee Lamb is going to eat. He might catch everything. And they're also going to try and go over your heads and throw to George Pickens. And they can run the ball, too. If they want to beat you up on the inside with Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders, like, here's the key. The Dallas Cowboys offensive line, they revamped that offensive line fast. I think I was talking about it the other night, how quickly they went from having Pro Bowlers in Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith. To now having, like, they have three Tylers. Tyler Booker, Tyler Guyton, and not why am I blanking on the last Tyler. These are all guys that they've drafted year after year after year to revamp that offensive line. I will give Dallas credit for that. Like, they don't mess around. They find some big, nasty guys. Tyler Smith, of course. They find some big uglies. Tyler Smith is the first one they got. Kid out of Tulsa. That line is stacked. Cooper Beebe, a kid that played guard. They plug him in at center. It's going to be a battle. I'm very interested to see, though, you know, the Cowboys right now have Jadeveon Clowney in the building because they know they need to improve their pass rush, specifically after they traded Micah Parsons and their first round draft pick from 2 years ago, Mozzie Smith. He's inactive. So, like, you know, mistakes are made too. Giants have Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal inactive. The Cowboys have Mozzie Smith inactive. But they do have some other guys that can make some noise. I'm very interested to see how they match up. I just think in football, right, going on the road the first 2 weeks is tough. Like I just mentioned, the Packers, they have the luxury of being at home the first 2 weeks. So, you know, going on the road is tough. And it was a physical game for the Giants against the Commanders. So they're going to have some bumps and bruises, but it's early. But the Cowboys, not only did the Cowboys play on Thursday, they had that weather delay break. And then, like, the game was pretty much over. I just feel like they're going to be fresh. I feel like they're going to want to open up Jerry World and get off to a hot start. They're going to come out guns blazing. And how are the Giants going to keep up with this Cowboys offense? I don't know. 888-808-1019. Like, they can't match touchdowns with field goals, because before you know it, it's 24-6 Cowboys at half. They have to punch it in. Malik Nabers got to get going. I like what he had to say. You know, Dable's not going to give you anything. But Malik Nabers, he seems like he changed his tune a bit. That first game, obviously emotions are running hot. But he said watching his own film, it made him sick. And he talked about what he has to do as a leader of the team. He talked about, you know, he's a key part of the offense. And when he doesn't play right, the energy's not right. And I think Malik Nabers has a more favorable matchup against the Cowboys secondary than he had the first week against Marshawn Lattimore, Mike Sanistro. I'm blanking on some of the other DBs for the Commanders. But, yeah, the Giants have to go into Dallas, and I don't expect them to win, but I expect them to score touchdowns, and I expect Russell Wilson to play better. He had a lot of short throws, quick throws, off-target throws, rushed throws, and he had some drops. And that'll work itself out week 1-2. And they got to try and establish the run, but you can't establish the run if your front, you know, your offensive line is getting blown up by their defensive front. But I don't think the Cowboys' defensive front is as strong as what they just faced. So, like, with that being said, it's like, okay, maybe you're taking a step down in competition there up front. So you gotta move forward. And I'm looking at Dable, and I'm like, you've got a scheme. You've got to come up. You've got to watch the film of what the Eagles did and come up with some plays that you can execute against the Dallas Cowboys. If you could take a lead, that'd be nice. But that's asking for a lot. And for the Jets, you know, familiar foe.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Gio is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Gio, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Jets do have the luxury of opening up their first two games at home. And what I hope is that the Jets come out hungry, prepared, ready like they did in week one, and that they're not smelling themselves. But I don't think AG is going to give them that type of environment to smell themselves. But if you look around, like, it seems like across football, people are surprised at how well the Jets offense played. All of them have graded out pretty high, from Fields to the offensive line without AVT. You know, that's why you go and bring in Myers too, to compete with Tippmann at center. Because the AVT goes down and it's just like, boop, boop, you just move him over. And I remember people questioned that move. Like, I remember reading an article, like, I thought Tippmann was the guy. Hey, if you got another guy that you can bring in to challenge that guy, people get hurt. It's football. Guys are going to drop. And I'm going to be very interested to see as well the Giants' offensive line, how long they just keep going. Like, I think I heard Dable today back up John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Yeah, he was asked about JMS. And, of course, he's a guy that he drafted and that, you know, Joe Shane drafted. He says, I think he's a strong player. I have confidence in John Michael as our center. And I don't know exactly where that comes from, what film he watches. Like, I see that guy get blown up, bullied, pushed around. And you need a man at center. You need a guy in that interior, especially in this division with what you're going up against. So, man, week two is on us quick. Just had waiver wire Wednesday. I didn't touch the waiver wire. You know me, I'm like, I'm 0-1 in two fantasy leagues. Whatever, not the first time. We'll feel this out. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, before we get back to the phones at 888-808-1019 for the gamblers and for, you know, just football fans as well. And we'll go through the rest of these games. But I just wanted to start with Thursday night, Jets-Giants, Giants-Jets, and obviously the Buffalo Bills. You know, they came off a win, but they had to win that game late. Like, hey, shock the world, Jets. Do it again. Go beat the Buffalo Bills. You've got a lot on film from what Lamar Jackson did, from what Derrick Henry did. Why can't Justin Fields and Breece Hall do some of that? Why can't Garrett Wilson do what DeAndre Hopkins did, Zay Flowers did? They can. But what I was going to say here is from week one to two, you are going to hear a lot of these pundits and analysts pick games based off of what teams did in week one. And just because the Jaguars won in week one, or just because the Chargers won in Brazil in week one, or just because the Vikings won, like do not read so much into they're 1-0. They look good the first week. It is a different matchup. These are NFL teams. They're all pros. These are the best of the best. Any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. And specifically this first Sunday coming up after the first one, it's hard to call. It's hard to call. 888-808-1019. We're still talking Yanks with Yankee fans. I had a Mets fan on hold, but I guess I started talking football, and he said, whatever, I'm out of here. Teddy in Yonkers is on the fan. What's up, Teddy? Teddy? Ted. Come on, Teddy. Teddy, I'm your conscience speaking. WFAN. Keith McPherson is the greatest host ever. You listen to WFAN late at night because you think KM to AM is the greatest show you've ever heard. Tell all your friends you've never heard a host like Keith McPherson. When you awake from your slumber, go like all of his Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok posts. Go to McPhersonBrand.com and buy a KM to AM t-shirt. Oh, boy. Loopy on the late night. You're getting sleepy. We're in the YouTube chat, though. The Night Watch in the YouTube chat. They're not getting sleepy. Oh, boy. Anyway. Yo, did I not? I'm like, actually, like, now I'm just realizing the YouTube froze. I'm like, did I not go back to the YouTube and flip the slate? Anywho, perfect timing to go to this guy after we just had Teddy snoring. It was a couple weeks ago. Tony in Montreal was caught snoring on the job.
You had me going there. I'm like, oh, man. Hey, listen, I wrote you a good rap, and I sent it to you on email on Tony is. Did you get it? Because it was funny as hell.
Is it Mark? It comes through Mark something. Mark with a C, maybe?
Yeah, that's me. Mark Anthony.
Okay,
yeah,
now that I know it's you, I think I, yeah. I didn't read it, but I saw. I get a bunch of emails because my email is public. But now that I know that's you, I'll go take a look.
So what I did was I put it. I said you're gonna put you can rap. I like the way you rap. So I finished it off. You put it to music and then put it on. And get some of that, like, Walk With Me or some, you know, some good AC/DC or something like Aerosmith. I think you could do something with that. I'd be laughing my you-know-what off. But in light of the way you know what's great about you, Keith? It's it's almost like 1:18 in the morning, and you put a smile on my face, man. You're the best. In, you know, like we talked sports, and you said some things today that are very, very pertinent. You know, this Emily Carson got stabbed in Chicago from the back. Her aorta was cut right open. She was just sitting on a train, and you had Irina Zaritska in Charlotte. She was stabbed for no reason. And, you know, today we lost a great patriot. You know, it's nothing, man. Like your country is the greatest country in the world. It's an experiment that worked since de Tocqueville talked about democracy. And what do you have? You have the greatest sports and you have the greatest athletes. Nobody matches your athletes. Everybody, whether they're golfers or football players, even your hockey players are surpassing the world hockey players on the stage. But, you know, I listen to you, man, and you could take nothing and you make money out of it. That's why I listen to you, man. And I'm sad that you guys are not across Canada, because you would kill it in Canada. So I just want to say one thing, okay? Last night you were talking about the Yanks and the difficulties, and you were talking about the Mets. And you're right, you know, Alonso, we talked about this 4 or 5 months ago. Alonso is a necessary component. He's a gentleman. He keeps his mouth shut. With Soto, they got to be together, or they're not going anywhere. In the Yanks, you know, you got guys like Bellinger, man. Like every position that guy plays, he comes up with ridiculous plays, like highlight reel defensive plays. And you're right, he has to be signed. And there's other guys on the team that are not playing. But, you know, the pressure in New York is enormous. And I watched the whole series this weekend with the Blue Jays. And, you know, I saw the way Guerrero played in New York. He had 4 hits one day, 2 hits another day. Two hits. Last night he had 3 hits. Tonight, you know, I don't know what he did tonight because I didn't see the full game. I only saw the end and they lost. So even though they lost tonight and they lost badly, and it was the pitching, the relief pitching, they didn't lose any spots to the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays lost. So, you know, Keith, it's 20 games to the end. You know, if you're in a horse race, it's the guy at the end with the nose across the finish line. And you got to keep positive. And you can't blame it on Volpe tonight because I don't think he played. I saw 72. I don't know who that was. He made an error also.
Yep.
Yeah, he made an error. And you said it yesterday. He has a bad temper, Keith. You're an athlete, and one of the guys called in yesterday and said, you know, you played high level in college and in high school. If I gave you $1 billion, that doesn't mean you're going to be the best quarterback coming into the NFL. It doesn't mean if I give you $1 billion, you're going to be the best player. Look at Volpe. He's getting $800,000, and he's got 70 RBIs and almost 20 home runs. And somebody else on the team is getting a $350 million contract, and he's injured. He's a great player, but he's only got 100 RBIs. So look at the money value, cost-benefit analysis. And one thing about the Yanks, which we never discuss, they are a zero-debt team. The debt ratio to salary and to expenses is almost zero. Guess who's up at 6%, 7%? The Dodgers. That's why they can't fix their problems. 6% of a couple of $1 billion, a lot of money that you got to carry. So the Yankees are frugal, they're smart, and they can get their players. And you're right, when we get our pitching back next year, we're going to be dominant. Anyway, that's my take, and I love listening to you because you have a heart, man. You have a definite heart.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Yeah, I mean, a lot to unpack there. I'll go backwards. Like, I'm thinking about Ryan McMahon and how much money he's going to cost the Yankees and how he's a top five in strikeouts in baseball. You know, how just 2 nights ago he had 3 Ks at the bottom of the order. He had a double tonight, but, like, you know, that's a guy that we're going to rock with. Volpe is someone who is just broken right now and they need to do some repairs on. And, you know, I put out a video from last night. Shout out to Will. Shout out to Daniel clipping up the videos, watching the live stream and, you know, helping me kind of, you know, feed the feed. And I talked about Caballero has his own issues as well. He's not a perfect replacement. He's not a perfect backup. He's just the one we have. And he came here after the deadline because they knew, hey, we're not sending Volpe down. He's way too inconsistent. Now he's in one of his bad spells. We got to have someone to go to. It's not Ahmed Rosario, it's Caballero. But, like, you know, I think Caballero had a hit tonight, but I was listening when he kicked that ball late in the game. And If that was Volpe, they would have booed his ass. Katie Sharp just put out, you know, since the trade deadline, where is it now? The Yankees bullpen has a 5.57 ERA since the day after the trade deadline. The only teams with the worst bullpen ERA in that span are the Marlins and the Rockies, who have fringe major league players. This is supposed to be a talented bullpen. Wasn't Doval an all-star? You know, multiple closers, guys that competed in the World Series. It's baseball, man. It's crazy. It's unpredictable. Volpe will get his opportunity again, and the Yankees will right the ship again. But what I'm saying is, like, after watching these games back-to-back, it kills all the confidence that you may have mustered up from watching them against the Blue Jays, against the Astros, and even as they beat up on those bad teams. It's just a reminder, like, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde of them, like, this is in their DNA as well. This is what they could do, too, in the most inopportune time coming up in a wild card series. If you play two games like this, if this was a wild card series at Yankee Stadium, where, and it won't be, but if, let's say, you know, the Yankees were hosting the Detroit Tigers, and that's how they played in these first two games against Casey Mize and Jack Flaherty, season's over. Like, and you never live that down. You remember forever how that went, you know. And I think this week in America has been crazy, as Tony is calling in from Montreal. I think this is a week we'll remember forever. Obviously, as we're on 9/11, and, you know, he just outlined the three deaths that, like, it's crazy to me that, you know, we're so desensitized. We're so immune to it. We see it in our phones. We just keep doing what we're doing. We just roll on to the next thing. We're just like, this is America. And yeah, America has great athletes and America is almighty. But, like, at the same time, this is America where, like, you know, with the guns and the violence and the things that go on, like that video of that girl on the bus, like, that made my skin crawl. Like, I'm uncomfortable even thinking about it right now. Nobody stopped that dude. Like, that girl did not deserve, like, and it made me think about, like, what that girl could have had going on in her life, where she was coming from, where she was going, why she was riding the bus. But she's dolo. And what a coward. Like, it sucks, man. It sucks that I'm like, I don't even want to see that. You can't even go on social media now. And I'm on social media mostly to build my own brand, my own name, but also for information. I'm scrolling after this show for tomorrow's show. I wake up in the morning scrolling and looking at stuff and collecting information for the next show, you know. I'll share some of the information that I collected today. We'll take another call. But, yeah, man, it's just, I don't know. I'm discouraged. I'm a father. I got a young kid now, and I just look at the world differently. And I just think, like, where are we headed? Like, this is what we accept now. This is what goes on now. We just got these little phones with screens in them, and we see this terrible stuff go on, and we're just like, on to the next. We find the next TikTok video, find the next highlight, find the next video to laugh at, the next clip from a podcast, and we just move on. Oh, I've got to go watch the Mets play. Got to go watch the Yankees play. Thursday night football. Ross is in Bergen County on the fan. What's up, Ross?
Hey, what's up, Keith? We live in a sick world, bro.
And there ain't no fixing it. There's no going back. It's only going to go further.
That's the scariest part. We could come up with, and I know there's people you talk about, you know, it's not my job to come up with an answer, and it's not your job, not my job. I know we elect the people whose job it technically is, but honestly, what is the solution? You know, what can you do? That guy could have had bare hands, and the lunacy in his head was going to cause something no matter what. What happened today, Charlie Kirk, I know you say you're not too familiar with him. Probably one of the most, and I'll get to the Met point in a second, just because you just piggyback off what you just said, one of the most level-headed right-wing, regardless of what side, but right-wing commentators, and the fact that the fact that he was able to have civil discourse gets him shot. What's it going to be when somebody not willing to have that civil, you know, discussion? What's it going to be at that point? You know, someone willing to hear the other side, and they still don't want to hear it. They shoot the guy. Family, two kids, wife who's a widow now. a sick world, bro.
Yeah. But yeah. And with this social media window that we have, it is insane how we all watch it. We all see it, and we just
it's everywhere, bro.
Except
someone was saying before, it's sickening to think that now these kids are going to grow up and the video of their father getting shots all over online for the world to see.
Yeah, some kid can bully them in 10 years. Not even. Some kid could bully them in a year, 2 years. And it just sucks, man. Like,
bro, one last thing. The shooting at the high school. Two, three kids got hurt. And the fact that, you know, even one of them could have died, but it would still be second or third fiddle. They would like that. A shooting at a school happened, and it's already old news. That's just like, bro, you need to know about the world.
We're now,
nobody even knows what happened.
We're now at 9/11, and what I remember about 9/11 is going to school the entire day and the teachers being able to hide it from us. I was in middle school. Nope. Kids were leaving school. And I remember one of my boys, Coop, like, we joked about, did he fake being sick? He got out of school. He went home. He faked being sick again. No, his dad worked in the city and, like, came and got him. I literally did not find out about what happened in the morning of 9/11 until I got home in the afternoon around 2, 3. I don't even know what time it was. And I just got home to turn on some cartoons, watch TV, and it was all over every channel. I'm like, I got to call my mom.
I can't even imagine. You imagine if we had phones, you guys had phones back then, or the buzz and beeps, like the Amber Alerts or whatever, every 5 minutes, how it like kind of unfolded. It's unreal, man.
Kudos to the teachers who were shielding children. It was a regular day at school, except a couple people started disappearing during the day. It was like, wow, like, where's this person at? Oh, this person went home. And you're not thinking that, you know, we were under attack, that planes were flown into the Twin Towers. And I always tell the story. I remember getting off the bus. I'm from the Shore area where, you know, you can see, we could see the smoke in the air from my bus stop. And I still didn't put two and two together until I saw it on TV. I'm like, wow, that much smoke has come down this way from New York City.
No, it's unreal. All right, really quick, and I'll get to a sports point. I went to grade school in Paramus, and all my teachers were there from when it happened, or most. I think one of them was talking about she was a student when it happened, and she said Paramus is like a 15-minute drive from the city, and they could see it like it was in their backyard, just like the smoke and the debris, everything. But so it's wild, man, and obviously before my time, 24 years ago, but like, you know, being around here especially, and knowing people that have had, you know, were impacted by it, it's crazy that we're coming up on 25 now. But you know, just to get a quick sports point in, I know I got Mets on the call screen. I really don't have anything to say about him, bro. And, you know, what I said, everything yesterday, just kind of on repeat, the pitching staff, one name after the other, and I'm kind of getting a little worried that we know what we're getting at. Mania is a nothing burger. Holmes is a nothing burger. Peterson, you're starting to be 50-50 on the fences. What we saw last year and the first half of this year is legit. And, you know, they're in the past for me. If it's Senga, forget it. He's not even worth talking about. I'm starting to get worried that it's going to seep into the Pink Pony Club, whatever the hell Mike Janella called them, I saw, the big trio, that the Bloom's going to start coming off that rose too. And McLean all of a sudden being nicknamed Nolan Seaver, they're going to start getting, you know, we're going to see an impact on those three too. That's my biggest fear, is that we're not going to have them to turn to in a few weeks either. But anyway, man, thanks for all the time.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Coming up on my last break here, 888-808-1019. Like, that is the last thing for the Mets. Like, what if these kids give it up? And I know, you know, they've lost starts behind McLean now one. They lost Sproat's start. They lost Tong's start. But, like, what if these kids start giving it up and the offense is not able to come alive? That's the last thing. It's been weak as hell. This high-powered offense, they're supposed to be, you know, one of the best lineups in baseball. They're definitely paid like it. In a series against your rivals in their building after you swept them in your building, to put up 0-3-3. Three doesn't win you know, most Major League Baseball games. So we'll see what they do tonight in this last game to try to get out without being swept to at least have, you know, the vibes righted and, you know, some better feelings coming home to face a super hot Texas Rangers team with a former Met on the mound that's going to just conjure up all types of feelings and emotions and thoughts as you watch, you know, Jonah Tong versus Jacob DeGrom Friday night in Flushing. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We come back. I'll hit you with, you know, some things from my notes that I collected and some more thoughts on week two of the NFL. Don't go anywhere. We're coming.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Right back.
Put WFAN in your contact list. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right. My last 14, 13 minutes here. I grew up on 1413 Rustic Drive. Shout out to my boy Zeke. I don't know if Zeke is listening. We used to rep that 1413. Still repping, Zeke. We did it, bro. We on, bro. Keith McPherson on the Fan. As I'm looking at the screen, something that I didn't hit on yet, you know, watching SNY, the Jets release Xavier Gibson. And I think earlier in the week I said, you know, a lot of people were overreacting with releasing Xavier Gibson after one mistake, but it's not just one mistake. He's made that mistake before. I know I said he's living off of that one touchdown he scored to walk off that game against the Buffalo Bills, and he doesn't live to see the Buffalo Bills in week two of this 2025 season. That number three jersey comes available, and the Jets sign Isaiah Williams, someone that, you know, Aaron Glenn said he knows. I like Aaron Glenn's demeanor, man. I think it fits the Jets, right? Because the Jets have been such a laughing stock. The LOL Jets, they've been mocked so much. You need someone serious. You need someone that's about his business. And you know what? Him doing that, like, that backs up all the talk. And it sets a precedent. Like, I will cut your ass. You will be gone. You cost us a game, you're gone. You don't get to do that. The NFL stands for not for long. It wasn't Xavier Gibson out of, like, Stephen F. Austin. He was undrafted. He also was part of the old regime. I just think that, you know, that move today, I think it shakes the room, but in a positive way. I'm sure he had some friendships and relationships, but I think it makes everybody tighten up again. As I was talking about before, I don't think that they're going to be smelling themselves too much about the moral victory they had against the Steelers and everyone talking about how well they graded out and, oh, these Jets are different. You know, when someone gets cut like that as you're preparing for week two, it's like, hey, the penalties got to stop. Take care of the football. Lock in. Be laser focused. We need to win. I think it's going to be a fun game for Jets fans to watch because the Buffalo Bills are a team with the reigning MVP. The Buffalo Bills are a team that just paid their running back in James Cook. They've got a few skill position players. They've got some good players on defense. They've got some all pros on that offensive line. Like, that, this is a good measuring stick test against a division rival. I think they're going to play well in their building. And I think if they get up on the Bills and have a lead, right, it's going to be different than what we saw with the Ravens. Don't read so much into that matchup with the Ravens. That's a loaded matchup from last year to this year. This, you know, the Bills might come in here underestimating the Jets a little bit. For some reason, the Jets always have the Bills' number. I think the offense is going to have some wrinkles in it that you didn't see in game one. I think Tanner Engstrom is going to, you know, roll out some more plays and build on, you know, the packages that they have and what they've seen. You're going to see something that looks like last week, whether it's formation or motion or a look that you saw last week, and they got a different play off of it. got to be ready to beat the Buffalo Bills in your building. That's a bigger win than beating Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. 888-808-1019. You get that division win, you knock off the Buffalo Bills, who are a Super Bowl favorite, who everybody picked to win the division. Then we're looking at the rest of the season way different. You know, as I say, I'm sure Xavier Gibson had some friends in the building on, you know, Jets videos on SNY's Twitter. He says, Zay was my guy. I feel bad for him. Everything happens for a reason, and I'm sure he'll get another shot somewhere else. Yeah, of course. These kickers, like Matt Prater is the kicker for the Buffalo Bills. These special teamers, they're expendable, and they're easy to find. They're floating around. And somebody's going to need someone to return kicks and punts. I joked about the Jets bringing Tariq Cohen back, right? Remember Tariq Cohen from the Bears signed with the Jets last year, but he ended up hanging it up, and I guess he felt like he wasn't going to make the team. They'll be fine without him. I think it shakes the room in a positive way. I think it adds a level of accountability for everybody. You put the ball on the carpet, you cost us that game, you're gone. You're not in high enough standing to make mistakes like that. You're gone. Good luck to you. And then, you know, AG said decisions that are made are not rash decisions. They're never based off one incident. I'll keep it at that. So that's why I said it wasn't just that time. He had some other stuff. They watched the film from last year. And, you know, maybe they didn't really see his value in anything but that, right? He didn't have value as a receiver and in the offense, and he was expendable. And I think you sacrifice a player like that, like I said, to shake the room in a positive way, to let guys know, hey, you could be next. Fear is a hell of a motivator. I talk about that with the Yankees. Fear is a hell of a motivator, but the Yankees have no fear. Guys can go out there, commit errors, bobble the ball, throw the ball around. Guys can go out there, swing out of their shoes, go 0-for for days. No fear. No worries. I'll be in the lineup tomorrow. I'm a New York Yankee, living off the Yankees of the past. No fear. No accountability. Oh, you're good. Participation trophy era Yankees. Get them tomorrow. What Aaron Glenn and the Jets did by cutting Xavier Gibson, that sets a precedent. And that sets the tone for the rest of the season with everybody else. I think they're going to be ready to play again against the Buffalo Bills. Now, I queued it up perfectly for you. Justin in Floral Park, he's a Bills fan and a Yankees fan.
Listen, first of all, the Jets are not, have no shot against my Buffalo Bills, so it's not the fun. I just got back from Buffalo. Keith, are you not a Buffalo Bills fan now?
I'm close.
Come on.
Yo, welcome so aboard. Did you see their rivalry jerseys?
I love you.
You see their Nike rivalry jerseys?
My wife already got me one. Jeez.
I'm close.
I already am adopting you. Keith, listen, I hate your team. I hate the Cowboys.
They're not my team.
Well, they were. Okay? The Yankees are driving me crazy, Keith. This is typical Yankees. They look great against Houston. Okay? They look great against Toronto. And what do they do against Detroit? Against a garbage-filled pitcher in Flaherty. They can't touch them. Keith, this team is going nowhere. Keith, they're not.
I know.
Do they see this? I mean, Keith, right now, presently constituted, we're playing the Red Sox in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're not beating them.
No.
We have no shot.
Probably not beating them this weekend.
It was a Yankees team. Correct. It was a Yankees team in the Fenway. And we got lucky that they lost Sacramento. Do we take advantage? Toronto lost. Do we take advantage?
Nope.
No. There's no sense of urgency on this team. Boone and Cashman both need to be fired. It's not going to happen now. Because all Hawk cares about is, well, we made the playoffs, great. Where's the chance of winning a championship? We are so far removed from winning a championship. It's disgusting. And at least I got my Buffalo Bills to watch. Because you know what? They got Hawked.
Yeah.
I was at the game. Down 15. Did I leave? Hell no. Did I trust Allen on the center? I will never leave. Keith, follow me back on Twitter. You'll see my freaking videos I posted on there.
I don't know your account. Thanks for the call, Justin, and we were getting a little feedback there, and I'll take it from here. Yeah, Flaherty, I tipped my cap to him tonight, and I said he exercised some demons from the World Series, but, you know, the Yankees were just what the doctor ordered for the Detroit Tigers. And if you remember last year, they were as well. When the Tigers went on their run last year, it started in August. I remember being at Fanatics Fest and watching there. I remember talking about it. It started with that series. Rodon actually didn't have a great outing. And then they faced Tarek Skubal. Remember they called Jason Dominguez up for the first time, the Little League Classic. Yeah, they lost that series to the Tigers, and then the Tigers got super hot the rest of August, September to get into the postseason. And Flaherty, they had traded away to the Dodgers. And obviously, you know, he's a champion. But when I was looking at the game logs, this is something I had in my notes as I'm getting ready for the show and putting it, I'm like, all right, how is Flaherty pitched? In this last, let's just look at this last month. August 12th, his outing, he gave up 8 hits, 5 earned runs. August 24th, he gave up 10 hits, 8 earned runs. September 5th, he gave up 6 hits, 4 earned runs. Comes to Yankee Stadium, locks in, 2 hits, gives up nada, strikes out the side, total 7 strikeouts, walks off, done. That's all I need to do here. So, just what the doctor ordered sometimes these Yankees can be. Just what the doctor ordered when they're coming off of losing to the White Sox at Comerica Park. They're coming off of, you know, getting smacked by the Mets at Comerica Park. By the Mets? Yes, the Mets. The Mets put 10 runs up on them. The Mets put 12 runs up on them. The Yankees in 2 games put up 3 via 3 solo shots. Now, that's baseball, Keith. It's a different place, different pitchers, yada, 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 whatever. Just saying. It wasn't that long ago. It was last week. Literally a week ago. It was last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then you follow up this Tuesday and Wednesday in Yankee Stadium, and you wake them up. You wake those guys up, and you might wake them up like you woke them up last year where they feel themselves and they go on a run here, and who knows where the Tigers will go. They got a good manager. They got enough pitching. I know we were talking about how the Yankees have the best pitching as far as like the American League, but now as I look at them, they got Tarek Skubal. They got Casey Mize. They got Jack Flaherty. And then they can go Skubal again. They got enough hitters. I'm not telling you that A.J. Hinch and the Detroit Tigers can't figure it out. They figured out how to go to Houston last year and knock off the Astros in the wild card round. They're a first-place team. And now they're playing games with Tarek Skubal where, like, no, they're not going to pitch him. They're not going to pitch him in Yankee Stadium tonight for what? For what? Already beat you. Got nothing to gain there. Already beat you. Just, you know, took the series in your building and took the season series for the first time since 2011. You guys remember 2011? That was tough. That was tough. We beat the Orioles and then went on to lose to the Tigers. I think that was that year. Or was that 2012? I'm getting old. I think it was 2011. And then, you know, Jeets gets hurt. That was a rough-ass year, man. We got swept by them. That was 2012. But no, we lost to them in 2011 in the division series. I forget. But we lost to them in the division series in 2011, and that year they took the season series. But then the next year, with Raul Ibanez, we were able to beat Baltimore, young Manny Machado on that team, Adam Jones. And then in the next round, the championship series, we got swept. And that's back when they had Scherzer and Verlander. And then Scherzer and Verlander pitched for the Mets. Who would have thought? I remember watching that on South Lincoln at my wife's college crib. Like the girl's house. I remember watching that at the girl's house in college. South Lincoln, from my Ocean Heads, you know. South Lincoln is right across from where Oakhurst Country Day used to be, off Monmouth Road. Those were the days, man. Those were the days. I remember, like, that next year, I interviewed at 92.3 now in this building. I was just telling this story. This is a good one before they hit the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun on me. The MTV VMA Awards just passed. And 9 years ago, I was in this building on the MTV social media team in their, like, war room. And right next to our building is Hotel Hugo. I remember working that night, and they put me up in the Hotel Hugo. And that night, Drake presented Rihanna with, like, the Lifetime Achievement Award, and Drake tried to kiss her. It was like this big pop culture phenomenon type of thing. Fast forward now, they got to put the MTV VMAs on CBS. Nobody watches it. Nobody cares. And I'm in the same building talking about the Yankees bullpen and the Mets bullpen, and nobody cares. That's how you tie it all together. C-Max coming up next. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll see you later tonight.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN New York.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.